Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jake, we don't want any more of this if we can help it. What altitude were you at when McPherson got hit?
300, 500, something like that. I'd just taken a gun out with a snake eye.
300 or 500? It makes a difference.
I don't know. I'm a little shaken up right now.
You're what?
I said I'm shaken up, sir. I got Morg's blood all over me.
Maybe we can stop the war if things get better then.
Nobody asked you to stop the war, did they?
The Phantom Shitter.
This is Filmsack.
Couldn't remember what I did.
Oh, sure.
Well, 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 what do we have here? Welcome, everybody. This is Filmsack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 641. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He is the Phantom Shitter. I just know it, Dunaway.
Uh-oh. Oh, hi. This week on Filmsack, we take a flying flight right off the deck of the Navy-themed Paramount Plus watch party bar fight. We totally started and escaped through the yellow brick road of your ear holes like some sort of disillusioned intruder looking for some satisfaction from all the questions we have about duty. You know, the kind of duty that ends up in the CEO's pickle jar of Tootsie Roll Pops after a late night bombing run by yours truly. Pull up. I can't do it. Pull up. I can't. The pickle is hot. I repeat, the pickle is hot. Hey, what's the movie this week? Any skin? No? Cancel it. Anywho. Dearest dead Navy bomber moving lady with the butt wedgie of a daughter, I hope this letter finds you well and gainfully employed for at least the next 9 months. If you experience any life-changing events, be sure to write. Oh, yeah, in case there are too many to remember, this is the guy that made up the makes up his own dance moves and uses them at the local military beach bars to seduce the ladies. So far, that has worked just once. So thank you for that. Now shut up and listen. I told my court-martial-level crazy idea to my new bomber-slash-skywife, and he says he gets good vibes. Like, only he can say it. So, Alpha, Mikey, Foxtrot, baby. Randy? Randy. They'd never expect us to come back. Nobody would go through that again. Eject! Yeah. Eject, eject!
Yeah, eject early. Nicely
early
done.
Ejection.
Also with us, Randy, watching him dance like that in his navy whites was almost unbearable, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. All right, listen up. As always, we have a new guy because for some reason, one of you dies right before every time we have one of these special meetings. So please say a few words, new guy, and then we'll curse you out for some reason, make you feel like crap right before we count on you to save our lives or something. Mm. I'm your commanding officer, and in addition to being the CO, I'll strangely leave the boat with you when it's dramatically necessary, so that's cool, right?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
We have a prankster among us, and we're calling him the Ghost Pooper. Now, It's become apparent that the Ghost Pooper is one of you who are in this room right now, so I'm going to lay down some rules for all of you. Number one. The Ghost Pooper apparently leaves notes in advance. That's just, sorry, no. It's the stupidest thing going on here. No, he does not leave notes. Number two, Sure, we call him the ghost pooper, but he's really a full service turnkey excreter. This guy can poop and he can pee. So watch out for your shoes and I guess your shoes. Number three, when you catch the ghost pooper, don't turn him in. No. Instead, what you need to do is blackmail the ghost pooper for all he's worth. You might get secret intel out of him. I know that I would go for sexual favors, but you do.
Oh, gosh, dang, dude.
That went. I'll be wiped first.
Jeez. What girl Scott out the most? Let's get this out of the way now.
This is right here, yeah. Just happened.
Good Lord.
Well, this intro.
All right. Finally, Brian, he hates Sam's, and he hates good mustaches even more, Ibbit.
Oh, look, you don't realize how well you've led into what I'm doing here. Yeah, after last week, I was like, all right, I set the bar high. So now I know I need to kind of go up even a little further, go up one more notch. And I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to go ahead and reset the bar really low so that I can have a nice little plan of ramping back up.
This is a good strategy. I like this a lot.
Expectations lowered.
Exactly.
I do this
exactly.
From time to time. Mm-hmm.
I almost did a version of Flagpole Sitta called Phantom Shitta.
Because
I realized never in the song does Harvey Danger actually say Flagpole Sitta. So it was really hard
for me to like. Does he? Yeah.
Doesn't. No, it's just a title. It's like Led Zeppelin. They can't put a title in their songs to save their life. So this time we're just going to go for a Campanile and we're going to take him dead or alive.
All I know is that to me, that looks like a place to bomb. Just make sure you do the prep. Watch out, Vietnam.
Nah.
We're on our way downtown to shut Sam City down. And I just found out you forgot to prep the Mark 83. All I know is you and me will turn those launchers into ash. There's one thing I want to know. What's up with that mustache? You fly me right round, Virgil, right round. Over Hanoi, Virgil, right round, round, round. You fly me right round, Virgil, right round. Over Hanoi, Virgil, right round, round, round. You fly me right round, Virgil, right round, over Hanoi, Virgil, right round, round, round.
You said you were taking it down, you liar.
And you took it up.
Lying sack of shit. That was awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, if I'm going to lower my expectations, I'm expecting a ukulele, okay?
Yeah. Or I would like to do a 19. And then a 19.
And then a 19. And then a 19.
We'll see what we have next week.
That was freaking unbelievable. All right, well, the bar has been raised. Let's see if we raise the bar for fake Fletcher. This week, another bad fake Fletcher.
Flake Fletcher
wasn't able to nail anybody down on a read, so we went ahead and used the horrible AI voice that we sometimes use for this, and they'll explain more about Flight of the Intruder.
Flight of the Intruder! During the air war over Vietnam, a U.S. Navy A-6 intruder bomber pilot schemes with a hardened veteran to make an unauthorized airstrike on Hanoi. Willem Dafoe looks like a child. This must be old!
Oh my gosh, dude. And all I had to do was put it in all caps.
Like a man.
When I do it in all caps, I get this. Every time I do it.
Yeah, I love it.
Right? Yeah. No. It sounds like that scene from Dr. Strangelove where What's-His-Face is writing the missile as it goes down.
Yeah, it is like that. It's a I never know quite what I'm going to get out of him, but we're grateful, I suppose, to him for that.
Slim Pickens is what I'm thinking of.
This is a John Milius film. Randy, I was going to ask you before we get too far, how many have we done Red Dawn? I don't remember doing Red Dawn. Did we? Because that's my favorite.
I thought we did. Pretty sure we did.
We definitely did Red Dawn.
Yes, okay. We have. And we also did Conan the Barbarian, which is... Honestly, I'm going to save that for later in the show.
Okay.
Yes. All right. John Milius. This is our third John Milius movie. His last John Milius, the movie that broke John Milius.
Yeah. He kept doing TV stuff, but he stopped doing movies entirely. He said it was the hardest time he'd ever had making a film. He hated his experience. He was like, I want out of this. This guy has written, directed, or been involved with some of the most amazing films. He wrote Apocalypse Now. He wrote Jeremiah Johnson, Conan the Barbarian, wrote and directed Red Dawn, made a video game that I really liked, called Homefront, fantastic video game back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to stop you. I would like to watch Jeremiah Johnson with you guys.
Yeah.
That's a Sidney Pollack movie from like 50 years ago.
Yeah, I do that.
It's supposed to be like one of Robert Redford's towering moments, and I think I saw it, but I just don't remember it at all. And I'd really like to see
that. Oh yeah, I'd watch that with you guys. No problem at all. We saw. Sure. Did we see Clear and Present Danger? He did the screenplay for that. I don't know if we like saw it.
I think so.
Feels hard like we did.
Anyway,
Jack Ryan's all run together.
but the point being, this dude is a capable Hollywood veteran with all sorts of stuff under his belt, and his final movie shouldn't have been so shitty. Look, I'm not going to say this isn't as bad. Hold on. This isn't as bad as Hollywood Homicide or many other movies we've seen. This is not the worst movie we've seen by far.
Oh, yeah. No, not by a long shot.
But it is a real mixed bag. There are moments where I go, this is kind of cool what they're doing here. And then the very next scene, some of the worst acting I've ever seen, some of the like lamest dialogue I've ever heard.
When did you see bad acting?
I have proof later. I brought receipts.
I watched, watched the movie clips. I watched the movie on Thursday night and then watched movie clips yesterday and this morning to just kind of say, all right, refresh, what I saw. And when you take scenes out of context and you watch Danny Glover sitting there leaning against the after he's been shot down, leaning against the front of his airplane.
His intruder.
Right.
His intruder. And he's like, no, you stay. You don't come after me and just leave me. And there's a bunch of guys with guns around here. It's like, oh, this is like. This feels like made-for-TV movie from the mid-80s.
Yep. Team Gibbet today on this. I 100% agree. Yeah.
Right. So here's the problem I imagine that happened and John Milius discovered. If you do a film that requires you to film on location at military locations, that has to be incredibly intimidating and complicated just to get it done, because you got a lot of military personnel. They always want to squeeze a few people in there. You have to make sure that it passes they think is good. And then you probably got a lot of looky-loos of people who are real freaking heroes, and you're portraying them. Man, that's got to be a pressure cooker from top to the bottom.
Top Gun already exists when this movie is being made.
Yeah,
but Top Gun kind of filmed all of the stuff like afar. It's like, there was a couple of scenes.
They made their movie with the express consent and help of U.S. Navy. Yeah. And so does this movie. This movie feels to me like a movie that was made by people who had watched Top Gun 100 times and really didn't like Top Gun. Right,
I can see that.
What people want is something slower.
Yeah. Right, it's like all the little things. The love story, which, by the way, what a shoehorn.
The love story between Brad Johnson and Willem Dafoe.
Yes,
because that was a lot more relevant than his love story with Chicken of Barquette.
Chicken of Barquette.
They say that partway through it. It's like you keep going, okay, we're going down this path. And then at the end where they're about to make the decision to go sacrifice, now he's like, come on, be for real. Even I know that wasn't a real relationship. Even in the movie, I'm going to say, she barely knew me. She barely knew me. Let's go.
But don't you think, I mean, we're here.
Grab a bucket.
She's as chick of the bucket as we've ever had. on this show.
Yeah.
Because they set it up
Except
to be
for the
like
original
oh,
chick in the bucket, right?
Well, that's true. But they set it up to be like, you know, oh, we're gonna see a lot of her.
Like the Kelly McGillis to his Tom Cruise, yeah. right? Like she's gonna be the reason he comes back and does yeah. all this stuff. And no,
and
the closure
says,
we
nope.
get is the closure we get is a letter from home. Yep.
Yeah. We don't even get her reading the letter. We just get him writing it, narrating it, and that's
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's yeah. so bad, you guys. Like yeah. No offense to
Did anybody read the book?
No. It's supposed to be a very it's supposed to be a really good book. People love that book. I've never read it. So.
And that's Stephen Kuntz, yet another writer whose last name is Kuntz or something close to that.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who focuses on military stuff. He made this book from reading like declassified things that the military itself puts out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think the story overall is really good. Like if you just take it away from everything else and you're like, here's some pilots flying this very particular kind of thing. You know, they have adventures, they have love and loss and so on. Like, I think it's real good.
Yeah.
I just,
this is about brotherhood way more than any of the other military movies. I think that's one of the things that attracted me to this. Cause I get kind of sick of seeing, oh, it's the most important thing. It's love. It's like, but dude, you ever went through like a decade of your life where you didn't really have a true love and you were just palling around with your buddies. And that was kind of the love of your life right then. And so
the book is way more of that.
Yeah. The relationship between him and Boxman, Morg! Between him and Defoe and Morg. Yeah, I was cracked up because that was that's the nickname for my World of Warcraft character, Morgarom. Everybody just said, "Hey, Morg, nice. Can you? Would you? Oh, you never mind. You're dead." Is what they, that's yeah, actually
you,
how
you enjoy the Morg. You enjoy the floor for the next 10 minutes. Sure.
Where's Morg? Oh, he's on the floor over there. We'll use him as our as positioning.
Yeah.
But the relationships, I will give you that, and the acting from Defoe I think is great. The acting from Danny Glover is good, and Brad Johnson acts like he's a former Marlboro man, which he
you're
is
not wrong.
Yeah. Oh, right. I didn't know that he was a Marlboro man. I didn't know that
he was a Marlboro man. Yeah, and, very hard to say Marlboro.
Right, so
man.
I want to admit something here. I have no idea who Brad Johnson is going into this.
I didn't either.
I see him and
why do you feel like you have to admit that to us? He wasn't anything before this.
That's true. Really wasn't much I'd never even this. Heard of him. I mean, he's got a presence physically, but I think his acting is atrocious. I don't think he's very good. Look cool. So
he seems to me very, very much like Rick Rossovich. Does that actor ring a bell for you?
No, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
Rick Rossovich. So he is he was Slider in Top Gun, but more importantly, because that's a really bit role. More importantly, he's the third wheel in the movie Roxanne, the Steve Martin, Daryl Hannah movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rick Rossovich, and like for some reason he's in my head, and every time I see this Brad Johnson guy,
he's not the third wheel. He's the guy who Steve Martin is helping.
He's the Cyrano, right?
I see what you're saying. He's the third wheel because it's really the relationship between Steve Martin.
He's
right,
and that dude's in. That guy's in Top Gun, isn't he? The dude from
he's Slider, which is a real bit role. You see him a lot, but he doesn't really get a lot of lines.
He slides right out of screen.
No, that guy looks so much like a firefighter. After watching Roxanne, I thought, wow, they got a real firefighter for that role.
Yeah.
Well, and this guy, Brad Johnson, is too tall to be a Navy pilot. And so, like, there's like some funny shots where he's like standing next to the other actors and they're all of a regular height. He doesn't belong.
I don't know. It's like I say, I see him and I go, all right, big, tough, buff Navy dude. But then I hear him talking, I go, dude, you belong on Hallmark Channel for some Christmas shit. What are you doing here?
Guess what? The
producers were saying, you know, all right, we got our top gun formula. We have the template here. What are people's biggest complaints about Tom Cruise? Oh, he's short? All right. We have a handsome tall guy.
Let's go tall.
Lead role.
And yeah. I just want to get right to apparently the infinite supply of nits that I have to pick, which is the known four part of your IMDb page. Brad Johnson, the star of Flight of the Intruder, which is by far the biggest movie he's ever made.
He is not known
for Flight of the Intruder.
What do they show? Melrose Place,
They have Always, they have Ned Blessing, they have Philadelphia Experiment 2. That's real funny.
What?
That's in there.
That's a thing.
Oh, he was in The Birds 2. Lands.
Hold on.
The Birds 2.
The Birds also.
The Birds 2.
Kind of
and,
the same.
And he was in Left Behind 2. This guy makes a lot of twos.
Left Behind. Yeah. Oh, that's that Rapture
guy
deal.
Looks like the other guy. I'm on it.
Is that the Rapture show? The Rapture movie series?
Yeah. Okay. There was a... Left Behind too, so like Left Behind
as well.
More people left behind.
Right. Yeah, we're getting out of the barrel.
Yeah,
or maybe we're still left behind. They won't come get us. Damn it.
Yeah, right. It's a real shame.
Having said that, I kind of like Brad Johnson in here. I'm disagreeing with Scott in so far as he feels like the right sort of broken man once his partner gets killed. Like he plays it really well for me.
When he's not talking, he's the part. He's great. Not a problem. But the minute he starts going, I don't know. It's when he argued with anyone, he took me out of it.
It was just uneven.
Yeah, it was really uneven. Yeah. That's a great word for it. This movie is uneven.
Like if you want to,
and if you put him, like if it weren't such star power around him, Sizemore and Glover and Defoe and all these other people, it wouldn't be as noticeable. If it were, you know, if you had some no names around him or more no names around him,
you mean like the Phantom Pooper, Douglas Roberts, who I loved.
That guy was even worse. But
loved him.
It's never gonna work that mission. No.
Crazy. But good luck to you. You didn't talk to me.
His name was Guffy. I love names in military movies, and he was Guffy. Yeah. That was the best name.
Guffy is a great name for anybody to ever be named Guffy. Yeah. I agree with that. But look, my whole point is like they wanted to be Top Gun. Maybe even they wanted a little Iron Eagle. It was more Top Gun
I don't think they wanted to be Top Gun. I think they wanted to avoid
Top Gun. They hate Top Gun.
I think they wanted to tell this story. And every time I looked at the story, I said, shit, there's just a little bit too much like Top Gun. We need to get away from Top Gun as fast as possible.
See, I disagree because I think they want Top Gun money. And I think they wanted Top Gun. So,
of course, but there's like a conscious decision here with every step. Like, okay, so we're two guys in a plane and one of them dies. Remember how they did that in Top Gun? We want to be more realistic. We want to have the survivor more affected, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And
look at the marketing. The marketing looks nothing like Top Gun. Go ahead. Sorry.
Come on now. The silhouette of the plane with the sunset behind it. I think I can find five Top Gun movie posters that look like that.
Give me the movie poster. Give it to me.
Well,
I'm finding it right now.
You're going to find it.
Convince me.
I've never been more Team Gibbet, by the way, on a movie. I feel like this is
It is right here. Wow, it was actually the second thing I found right here. I'm putting it in our chat. Fighter planes with
that
the
looks
sun
nothing like the other post. Look at that. That's got a guy and a gal in the front.
A guy and a gal. Yeah.
Because apparently Roseanne Arquette only signed up for one day. She couldn't stick around for being on the movie poster.
She not only signed up for one day, she signed up for one room, I think. Then it just barely did anything with her. It was a real bummer. And by the way, I went on a bit of an Arquette deep dive because I realized, because this movie has David Schwimmer in it, and that means Ross is in this, which means...
I loved it. That was so surprising.
Which means his fake sister, Monica, married her real brother, David Arquette. And they're both named Dave. Like, I had all these, like, weird things in
my head.
That's
funny. I didn't even think about the connection there. That is hilarious.
Yeah. So I thought about that a whole bunch for no good reason. It was a waste of my time. But
there was a lot of time to think about other things while you're watching this film.
Yeah. What I didn't know is they had a sister who died at a very young age, like, not that many years ago. Uh-huh. I think...
Really?
She was only 47, and she died of some old complications of AIDS she'd had forever. But like, this weird... modern it was like a one-off because we have medication to really handle that now, like it's not the deadly thing it used to be. So anyway, there was this whole story. So I got down deep into that. I'm like, I didn't even like this movie. Why am I going down the Arquette road that I am? And I'm looking, okay, well, Patricia, she's over here doing this. And then I realized this is a bigger acting family than the Baldwins. Oh,
yes, by a lot.
That's oh, really? Crazy.
I mean, there's, I knew about Patricia and what's his face, dude Arquette and Roseanne Arquette, of course.
If you don't count spouses, there's still a dozen Arquettes in wow. IMDb.
Yeah, that work in acting. Not some less than others.
If you count spouses, it's unbelievable like for example, this one. Which one are we talking about? Roseanne Arquette. Roseanne Arquette has had 4 husbands.
Oh my gosh, oh, wow. Dude. She's a busybody. She got stuff going on.
Well, are they all? And dear, were they all?
Mark letters.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. James Three Newton were. Howard, the yeah. The musician,
the composer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Her first husband was Tony Greco, who I guess was also a musician, a composer.
Okay. All right.
I also this is another movie where John. So I'm a big John Corbett fan. If anyone yeah. here watches Northern Exposure, they'll know who I'm talking about. He plays Chris in the Morning. He's an amazing actor. More recently, probably the Big Fat Greek Wedding movies or whatever. But anyway, he's great, and he's barely in this, but he's got a little bit role in it. And then, so I go deep dive on him. I didn't know that guy's been married to Bo Derek for 20 years. Bo Derek. And she's like 20 years older than him. There's all kinds of weird stuff you learn when you watch a bad movie.
Bo Derek.
Yeah. You watch wow. a bad movie.
She's like a 10.
Oh, to yeah, a I wanted to make reference to a thing, partly because I want people to hear this joke, because that made me literally choke on an egg. But Ibbot said the other day, or yesterday, I guess, you said that Danny Glover's so quiet in this thing that he's just right. getting too old for this to be loud or something. What'd you say? I don't want to ruin the joke. I said
Danny Glover's getting too quiet for this shit.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's it.
And it made me laugh really hard. But anyway, the point is I'm watching it and I realized this is true of everyone. Either they are too loud or they're too quiet, and it's alternates. It's never medium. No one's ever just talking except maybe when he's hanging out with Patricia Arquette, or is it Patricia or the other one?
Roseanne
Arquette. Yeah. For like 5 minutes. That's about the most even speaking we had. Everything else was like, you don't know what you're doing. You guys need to get down there and do, you know, like,
yes. What? Yeah, why? Exactly. When he's, and Danny Glover, he's chewing out razor.
Jared razor blade.
Right. When he's I'm gonna call you Straight Razor from now on. Yeah. It's like one minute he's like, because there was a WAP in the wood pile, I'm gonna call you Straight Razor. Yeah. I told you, I said, I have never had to do this much adjusting back and forth to be able to hear
Danny Glover's acting style, though. I mean, even when he's in the toilet on Lethal Weapon 2, he does the same thing. He's just
the responsibility of the audio producer to jack up the levels and even things out.
Yeah.
Please don't.
We got to stop on the WAP in the woodpile moment, because when that's happening, I'm asking out loud, what is this doing in this movie? Why is this dialogue in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just dawned on me.
N-word.
Yes, they did. It was 1972. And
WAP.
WAP isn't nearly as bad. I mean, they're not in the same category. Like, there's a famous comedian.
Socially, no.
There's a comedian thing. Who was it? Maybe John, Brian, you just watched this.
John Mulaney.
Or maybe it was you, Randy. Sure. Somebody just watched
What's
it.
What's your name?
Sorry, everybody's names are all flying through my head.
I'm terrible with names.
But he was, he did this bit about how somebody in SNL, that's what it was. It was Mulaney, because somebody on SNL's executive staff said, I'm sorry, you can't do the midget joke. And they said, why? Right. And he goes, well, the M word, I mean, that's for them, that's as bad as the N word. And he said, no, it's not.
No, it's not because you are also have the N word.
Right. And you won't say it.
Like
you'll say M word. Or no, you'll say midget in this conversation, but you won't say the N-word.
The actual N-word,
It was a great bit. But anyway, the point is, like, this movie was hey, we're in the 60s, 70s. We still say really dumb shit. That's what I felt like. I didn't feel like it was egregious.
Like the actual dialogue of that moment felt so much to me like something someone heard, and it really stuck with him. Like the writer or the, you know, the guy who transcribed this movie or whatever, someone put those words into Danny Glover's mouth because they thought this is really an amazing story that I heard once, and it's not. Right. It's not at all.
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's probably dying.
It was a running joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figure it's probably in the book. It was a running joke that was going on between him and the new recruit Razor. The commanding officer kept changing his background story, like two or three times during the movie. So yeah, it was like a running joke.
And Razor freaked me the F out. I don't trust him at all. The way he smiled, the way he talked, I didn't like him.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a serial killer vibe.
Yeah.
Make him the new BTK killer and bring back Mindhunter.
Also, some of the worst acting in the movie. I'll play audio later, but when he's in the plane saying, "I'm not going to leave you, sir," and all that stuff, that should be dramatic and interesting. And instead it was like, "I'm not going to leave you, sir."
So that actor is Jared Chandler. He's acting here.
Chandler.
Later in his career, he's got a bunch of credits where he's like just working crew. He's just off to the side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he realized
that, right.
Maybe he realized this isn't for him, you know?
I think it's because he was actually in the military and he's like,
maybe that's where he got to start.
This is where he gets to actually do some acting, but like his role in Hollywood is to be an advisor more than a actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
Could
believe that.
He's just terrible. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Why is it that
some people can do such a great job of acting? Like, what is Fred Thompson has no business being this good in front of the camera, you know?
Yeah.
Because he just has such a presence that there's no doubt that it's just like the director just says, "Fred, just deliver your line like you would if you were Fred Thompson." And all right, I'll just deliver this line. And it's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to do anything beyond that. That's why we always seem kind of in the same kind of role. We're never going to see Fred Thompson romantic lead or anything like that. But
no, I'm trying to think if we ever saw anything outside of just like some militaristic and or lawyer or government.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't do anything else, I don't think. I mean, he ran for president other than that in real life.
He's apparently in Iron Eagle 3, so I'm
yes. In.
Oh, wait, really? We ought to do that. Yeah.
There's an Iron Eagle 3?
Yeah,
we talked about this. We talked about
Iron Eagle.
There are a lot of Iron Eagles.
This is our fourth Fred Thompson movie on FilmSack, by the way.
Only four?
We previously saw him in Cape Fear, Days of Thunder, and In the Line of Fire, which, like you say, they're all... He's always this character, kind of.
Yeah.
This is his job, and it's fine. He passed away. He's no longer with us, but I always enjoyed Fred Thompson's screen presence. One of my favorite things he ever did was he was a regular as the main DA, New York DA, district attorney in Law and Order for years and years and years. Mm. And he was really a highlight of that. Him and J.K. Simmons, who played the psychologist guy, expert, they just elevated that damn series. And kind of, I think, well, I don't know if that's where they got their start, but it felt like that's kind of where they, you know, we started seeing them. But I didn't know this, though. Ed O'Neill was originally cast in this thing.
Yeah, and that's what the trivia says perfect. Anyway.
Yeah.
Brad Johnson's character?
It doesn't say, but it says the test audiences just laughed when he would be on screen because they just thought of him as Al Bundy. Nice. So they recast it. They don't say what character, though, in the trivia.
I hope it was Dan Florek, Mad Jack. He was just wow.
It sure is interesting to have the idea of test audiences that early in the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like early enough that you can just recast a major role.
Yeah.
It was probably just test audience in the military. Probably just had a bunch of those. Yeah. What's the film tonight? Is there any skin? No, it's Fly the Trigger. Shit.
Right. Right. Right.
That was a good little running gag. I wish they'd made something of it. Like I wish the movie master had some really weird movies, you know, or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the movie master changed. I guess it would change. They different people's job different times, but that's when John Corbett showed up toward the end as he was now in charge of movies and earlier it was somebody else. But is that how that goes in the military? We'll have to hear from military people, but don't know.
Yeah, newest recruit is in charge of the movie duty.
And back then, that'd be a real job movie because you'd have to, set up projectors and it's reel to reel and you got to manage it. It's actually a thing you do like KP or something. But right. Today, you hit a remote? Like, it's just streaming.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Whatever. They have to go torrent the movie? It's a lot of work, Scott.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's true, yeah.
Okay. Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Didn't think of it that way.
Just pick whatever they recommend. Oh, based on your love of Top Gun, we recommend Flight of the Intruder.
Yeah, sure.
Got to manage a Plex server. It's a lot more complicated than you're giving it.
Oh, but that's cool. That's just, if you ran a Plex server, it'd be just the ship would get it and no other ships, right? Yeah, you're not sharing it with other ships. That's right. It's like, this is the USS Butthole. We're missing a copy of, I don't know.
And this is the USS Suckick. Over. Not getting
our collection of Parks and Recreation Season 3 is incomplete. Over.
Yeah, it's really important military stuff going on.
Yeah, we're gonna send over Tom Sizemore with a hard drive.
Yeah, that
sounds right. Tom Sizemore,
and everybody will come back pregnant.
Yeah.
So who ended up having to break the news to Boxman's ugly wife that he'd gotten killed in line of duty?
Oh my gosh!
It's so sad.
Nobody wrote him a letter.
I didn't even think of that until you said it. Yeah, that's a weird Sizemore role too. What a weird.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
All Sizemore roles are weird. That's just the way it is. He's a weird dude who cuts people's ears off.
Yeah. Wait, you're thinking of someone else. You're thinking of, he didn't cut anyone's ears off.
You're thinking of Michael Madsen.
Yeah, you're thinking of Michael Madsen.
You're right. Wrong guy. It was Michael Madsen.
But I could see Tom Sizemore doing that, by the way.
Yeah. He could do it. But he does Heat, 3 years after this? And that was a great role. He was really good in Heat. This one, I don't know.
And he is our most sacked person this week, Tom Sizemore.
Yeah.
We're going all the way back to we saw him in Passenger 57 and Point Break, and he was in Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
Ving Rhames, where's he laying at in this one?
Because
I've seen him a lot, and I was kind of surprised he was here.
This was teensy.
I was amazed at how Ving Rhames wasn't as big as some of the other actors. Yeah, I was constantly staring, like, is that actually Ving Rhames?
I know. You hear his voice off screen before you see him, and then it's like, whoa, look at that. It's little Ving Rhames.
Yeah. Wee Ving Rhames. Just a little fella.
Still, could take me out pretty darn easily. But
it could actually dangle you in a crocodile alligator pit.
Yeah, totally could.
I think there's two things here. One, apparently Ving Rhames is way bigger than Tom Cruise, and that's who you compare him to a lot.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You just think of
Mission Impossible stuff.
And two, we all, our introduction to Ving Rhames kind of globally is Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's a larger than life character.
Yes, well put.
Mm-hmm. And we know him from, as far as film set goes, though, like, what have we seen? The Mission Impossible 2?
Right, we've seen three Mission Impossible movies with Ving Rhames. He was in Piranha 3D, you might recall.
Oh!
That was real good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
popped
that.
Up the screen there. It's really good.
I like that.
Way back in the day, we saw him in Con Air. That was a very
gosh. He was in Con Air? Hold on.
Yes, I remember. I looked in Con Air.
He was a prisoner in the plane? Okay. Don't remember
Everyone
that.
Was a prisoner.
Nope, he was Las Vegas. He was the entire city of Las
Vegas.
It was awesome.
Well, that's a fair point. But the reason I'm saying that is because you have that's two movies. It's a bunch of FBI guys and then it's a bunch of guys on a plane. And
He could have been one of the cops or the guards. Totally, I could totally see him play that part. But he wouldn't.
I like him because he's a real screen presence. He's a screen presence that I think they pump up because after seeing this, I realized him standing even next to Defoe, he's a little he's kind of tiny. He's not a very big guy. Mm. So when you camera Ving Rhames, it just surprised me how he looked. So small. I mean, you were just saying it a minute ago. He just looked tiny. And I thought, well, you don't have the meats right now, so do you, buddy? Where are the meats?
More meats.
Yeah, more meats. There's another bit of trivia that says, near the end of the film, the phonetic alphabet phrase Alpha Mike Foxtrot is spoken over the radio. This is an abbreviation for adios, mother effer, which is said over the radio by down to air crews when they know death is a capture or a capture is imminent.
Not the first time we've heard it here on FilmSack. We heard it on the A-Team.
Did we?
Oh, did they say that too?
I don't remember that.
They said AM Alpha.
Who said it? Like Hannibal?
Bradley Cooper, right? Face.
Face? All right. Okay.
The face that came right out of his face.
Rocket Raccoon himself. The music guy, Basil Poledourius, originally scheduled to score Dances with Wolves, reluctantly dropped out to score this film for his close friend, John Milius.
Fine.
I'll do it. It's okay, I guess.
My name is Basil. I got to be nice.
It says here, with extremely damaging results to his career when he found himself suddenly unemployable at any studio making a picture with Kevin Costner. To make matters worse, the film release was delayed nearly 2 years, so he could have easily done both films.
Oh, bummer.
That guy got screwed.
So Kevin Costner's a jerk then. Is that what I'm seeing?
I don't think that's a Costner. I don't think that's Costner specific. Like, it's not Costner going, I'll never work with him again. I mean, maybe it is, but I doubt it.
You'll never work in this town again.
Yeah.
Like that? No, okay.
My guess is it's more just the studio. I mean, I don't know how these people work. They all seem rude and terrible in Hollywood. I'm sure I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right. They're rude, terrible. It's a cutthroat business, and as such, yes, it is not a polite place.
No,
but boy, have we heard this guy's music a lot.
Oh yeah, tell me more. Where do we know him from?
Red Dawn, Iron Eagle, RoboCop, Conan the Barbarian, The Hunt for Red October, Starship Troopers,
Wow,
sounds like it might be John Milius' friend there, maybe.
Yeah,
oh, for sure, yeah.
They were buddies. They're pals, it says here. So sometimes you do stuff for your friend that really screws you. You know, remember that one day when,
sometimes when your friend asks you to go bomb Hanoi, you go, I'm getting a good feeling about it. What did he say exactly? I feel good about it. I'm jacked up. What did he say?
I can't remember now. Something like that. I can't remember. Well,
I'm getting good vibes.
Oh yeah,
I'm getting good vibes.
Whenever he puts his flight helmet on, he sounds weird. I don't like.
Yes,
it.
Yeah, I hope you have some audio from him in the cockpit.
Oh hell yeah,
when he's like talking about him.
I didn't prep.
Yeah, there you go. It's like his nose is being squished or something.
It probably is. I liked when they were filming him though, because when he was doing one of the bombing runs later on, you know, all they would show is his like eyes from like his eyes up. They intentionally were really low. And Willem Dafoe has some great crazy man eyes.
Can I nominate Willem Dafoe for best actor in this movie?
I think that's fair.
Not even a question.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like Danny Glover was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
He was entertaining to watch, but I think Defoe was acting it.
I do have to ask the question though. All right, Scott, you like your diners, you know, your diners with the waitress with the cigarette kind of dangling out of her mouth, and she brings your blue plate special, and to your left you see Willem Dafoe just about to finish up, and he's there, I'm setting out, and he gets up and he walks out, but he leaves his coffee behind. Do you slide that coffee over and start drinking Willem Dafoe's discarded coffee?
No, never in my life will I do that, and that grosses me out.
Maybe.
In fact, that's pretty close to the thing that grossed me out the most. Now that you mention it.
What was the thing? Did you have something else?
I wrote his mustache because I just hated it so much.
That's funny because I was trying to figure out what it was that was disturbing me. You know how people have a unibrow where it goes straight across?
He has a unistache.
There's no...
Well, and he also kind of has a unishelf where his eyebrows wouldn't be connecting. Like, it's a little protrusion that almost makes it look like he still has the unibrow.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's weird. It's interesting. He has, I mean, who has a more interesting face in Hollywood than him? Guy's a freaking weirdo.
And they make his face even more interesting in the movie Poor Things, the Oscar nominated.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta watch that. Where he's got the patched together looking Frankenstein face. Yes,
the Frankenstein-y looking face, yeah.
I gotta see that still. That stuff's so up my alley. Yeah. I don't know why I haven't seen it. I know why. It's not streaming anywhere yet, right? Or is it?
It is not. You would know this if you'd listened to my bonus episode.
No, I haven't yet.
Oh!
I know, but hey, hold on. No, I know. I know Ibbit did. He heard it.
I did. I listened to it and enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. I'll get to it.
Yeah, it's been up for almost 12 hours, Scott. What the hell?
Yeah, where have I been?
Hold up.
You don't proof everything end to end?
No, I trust you guys. You know? Yeah. Like, you could come in there and go, I'm going to talk about a penis for 2 hours. And I'd say, all right, I trust in their hot judgment.
Dunaway's already done that.
Yeah. That's his.
I call it the hot pickle episode, and it was great. It was great.
The stress poops.
Hey, but I will tell you this. I... I want to know this because I didn't ask at the top of the show. Now, I said, and I want to thank you guys for actually going through watching this movie, because when I watched the trailer last week, I was like, oh, shoot. I remember this being a movie that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Is this going to be unwatchable? And so I worried all week until I got to watch it that I thought it was going to be unwatchable. I thought it held up in ways that I didn't expect. But in other ways, it was disappointing, of course, since, you know, time has passed. So was this everybody's first viewing? And
I'd never even heard of it till you guys suggested it.
If you went back like a couple months and asked me, hey, what's that movie Flight of the Intruder about? I would have guessed so wrong.
Oh, yeah. Like, I won't say, like I said earlier, it's not the worst movie I've seen. No, but it's got a bunch of problems. It tanked for a reason. Like, it's not, I don't think it's just us or just me. Yeah.
It's a middling kind of movie. It does a few interesting things, but it doesn't stand out that much. As a matter of fact, mostly all I remembered from my previous viewing that I saw again this time, I said, oh yeah, I remember that, was him doing the weird dance and the very end when, you know, Willem, spoiler, you know, is kind of like, go back, and he's shooting and everything, and he's going through his hole, I'm saving you even though I'm laying here dying scene. I still remember that pretty well.
It was very memorable.
I will now know, like, if you ask me, I will probably 10 years from now I'll go, oh, that's Willem Dafoe out in the jungle getting bombed.
And he's good in
putting the shoe polish on his face.
He's good in it, right? He's made for this kind of stuff, like this guy. Mm-hmm. He's Willem Dafoe for a reason. Does anyone work harder than him?
Think
like this
Platoon
is
and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen the Aquaman sequel? Is he
I have not seen it.
He didn't. Yeah, he's still alive in during is Aquaman because he's in Justice League. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You mean the character?
Yeah.
The character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. just to be sure.
Both. The character and Willem Dafoe is still alive.
Yeah, why not both, I suppose. But yeah, I'm trying to think of something where I was just like horrified by him. Oh, I know. That Antichrist movie. I could do without ever seeing that. If I could remove a movie from my memory. Actually, all that guy's movies, but that one in particular.
I agree, totally.
Yeah, it is really rough.
What was
that? I think his, for me, the creepiest Dafoe is, what was the one? Is it Blue Velvet? No, it's Wild at Heart.
I don't think I saw that.
He's a guy staying in the hotel. It's one of the David Lynch. I got to scroll through.
You said it all.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a David Lynch movie? Oh, yeah, that is. I know the name.
Yeah,
I can't think of the. I don't think I've seen it.
It's good, but he plays Wild at Heart. Bobby Peru, he plays this really creepy dude in the hotel who like tries to pressure Laura Dern into getting with him, and
that's, come on, get with me, come on.
That's a crazy ass character.
And you know, he was in Existence. The guy's career for me really improves when he hooks up with Wes Anderson. Like, I suddenly find myself calling Willem Dafoe a fun actor, whereas before that, like, he's weird.
No, that's a good way of, that's a great way of putting it. And I loved him in, it was a small, wait a minute, am I thinking of Moonrise Kingdom? No, what am I thinking of?
Steve Zissou?
Yeah, that might be my favorite with him. My favorite Wes Anderson with him in it, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. He was also in French Dispatch.
Yeah.
Did you guys check out The Lighthouse yet?
Yes. Yeah, I loved The Lighthouse.
Pattinson.
I watched it.
Seagull.
black and white. Yeah. Weird. I really enjoyed
weird,
it.
Weird dimensions. The mood of that three dimensions, good. Yeah. No, that was so good.
And that movie came out, or at least I saw it, right before the pandemic, like a week before we all went home. And so it really stuck with me, you know, like I call it, what did I call it? My dinner with Andre on the sea.
Yeah. In particular,
Willem Dafoe making Robert. Right.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen Florida Project, I know Scott, you watched that recently, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's really good.
Yeah. Dafoe is fantastic in that.
He deserved, I don't think he won, but he deserved that nomination for sure.
He did. Year. Yeah.
Did he end up winning? I don't remember if he won.
I don't think he did. I'm trying to remember.
He's still one of those actors. I don't think he's won one yet, but you know, he's getting one before that career ends. You just know it.
Oh yeah. Oh, wow. He's still already got
mine.
Still hasn't won one. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. See, that's crazy to me. But also, I don't know. There's lots of actors like that where you're just like,
yeah,
can't quite believe they haven't won everybody over yet, you know?
And I got it. You got to blame the agent. They don't have representation helping them find those roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I had a note here about a trope that I don't know what to call. So I'm going to play the thing and then ask, and maybe Randy has tropes, TV tropes up or something, but the commanding officer needs saving by rogue soldiers. What is that? What do we call that?
I don't know, but it's in every military movie.
Every one of them, dude.
Like I said at the beginning, they love to take the CEO away from where they're supposed to be at all times.
Yeah.
And put them in danger, which it's just weird.
Yeah.
The military was supposedly very heavy handed with the actual content of this movie. But for some reason they have this guy just, you know, get in a plane and fly away.
Yeah. Because the CEO is probably approving it going, yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Who's he leaving in charge, by the way? Like, we could have had a 5 seconds.
The of phantom him. Pooper.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's weird. I just saw Hacksaw Ridge sort of recently ish. And two of the commanding officers end up in very precarious, I need to save you situations. And that's apparently based on true story.
There's a love there, right?
Yeah, there's
relationship between.
But this is maybe the point. Maybe this is a military thing I don't understand. Like that this is, they're not just there to train you. They're also there to go into battle with you. And then now there's a bond. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand.
That's old school. Yeah. You know, I mean, you always, if you're a leader, you want to show that you can lead literally by being on the front. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's a common trope throughout, I think. Yeah. But yeah, saving them, that's a weird trope.
It is weird, right?
Yeah.
And they do. You see it a lot. I'm sure there's a word. I don't know.
There's some great tropes around that character here. One is the berserk button. He's like, he has a berserk button. He hits it regularly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Another one is playing possum. We love that trope, right? Oh my gosh.
He's, where he's acting like he's dead in the cockpit until the guy gets close enough. And yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
That one's a fun one.
Yeah. Apparently he's a race lift. In the book, the Commander Camporelli is white. And
actually Italian.
Oh
yeah, something so like
maybe
that.
Maybe that was gonna be Ed O'Neill's role then.
Oh, you know what? That would fit. That would have been about the age range too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bet you're right.
Interesting. Because that's interesting too, because I'm sure racism for against Italians seems to be maybe easier to write about than to portray in films.
Maybe. I wouldn't call it racism. I'd just call it ethnic bullshit. Like, they're just
ethnic. There you go. Ethnic bullshit.
I don't know what the right word of it is, but it's obviously, you know, like back in the day, we hate the Irish. There's too many here. Or we hate the Italians because there's too many here or whatever. That was mostly about.
They're going to take our jobs.
It was more immigration type stuff back then.
I didn't serve in the military in the 1960s, but everything I've watched gives me the impression, at least, that there was a pretty strict Protestant Catholic divide among military folks who were stationed overseas, and like they were just kind of like hard on each other, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you call this trope of? They do it in Top Gun and all these military movies, I swear. But you're allowed to dick around with very expensive aircraft anytime you feel like it. You know what I mean?
Isn't that interesting? you can't imagine this movie keeping on the rails. Like, everybody plays by the rules and just does what they're told to do.
Yeah.
Like, you can't imagine it. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's weird to me. And it's like, oh, we're going to buzz the towers. Or in this case, we're going to go make the doctor sick. Or drive him, you know, make him scared because we're going to do a bunch of loops and weird maneuvers, and then we're going to play honky tonk music because while we do it. It's just
we need a little comedy relief, right?
But do you think it's true? Like, let's say you're in the actual Air Force or Navy, and you're the best pilot there is, and are there times where you're allowed to just go screw around and buzz towers?
I'm sure probably everybody who's been in the military has one story. They've all probably been part of one crazy, we shouldn't have done that story. Did it happen every week like they look like in movies? No. But I think, I think everybody's at least experienced, they kind of broke the rules there, didn't they?
Yeah.
We'll never get to do that again.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, probably. Like anything, right? Like you go.
Right.
But these guys got away with a lot. First, they're screwing around with stuff. Then they go off and do a mission without any permission. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then they get to go do it again and try to save... Murtaugh. Yes. You know?
Yeah. I don't see nobody up there. I just see some boys about to whoop some ass.
Exactly. Like, I'm not.
I'm going to allow it. We're just going to sweep this one under the rug. So, that's right. No charges.
No charges. No, let
them go. It's not a bad.
And that was, I actually, I really liked that twist. I want to give this movie credit for the twist of these guys happened to pull their stunt the day before the president made their stunt what they're actually supposed to be doing.
Right.
I just think that is awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it a twist or is it just Deus Ex Machina? Like basically we need a way for these guys to make it to the final mission. I know it timing was perfect. Nixon just wants to keep this quiet and let's just do it.
Yeah. I do like the term pop and smoke. We need more pop and smoke in my common vernacular.
Smoke.
Yeah.
Pop and smoke.
I want to be able to say,
Sandy,
hey,
come get me.
Are we going out tonight? Hell no. I'm pop and smoke or something. It's just a cool sounding thing to say. Yeah. And they said it a few times in this.
Oh man. Those Sandys, that's a Douglas A1 Sky Raider. The A1 is such an incredible looking plane. I just love that in the 1970s, we had prop planes fighting wars.
Are those still in use? Yeah. Do you know?
No. They're not still in use. This is probably the end of, of the Sky Raider, but like, they were in use for the making of the movie. That was the real deal, man. Right. They had, so many awesome planes and shots of planes that were in such good condition. I was really impressed because they're like crawling around on the island of Kauai and you see like, there's an A1 coming in real low.
I was going to ask you about that. It did look Hawaii. Everything looked like Hawaii, not Vietnam jungle to me.
So much that it was annoying. Like you have Rosanna Arquette sitting on a Hawaiian beach. And it's like clearly a Hawaiian beach. Like, and by the way, if you were married to a guy and he was MIA, but you know he was shot down and killed, do you think the military would just let you continue to live on the beach?
Indefinitely? Sure. I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say probably not. If I had to guess. Yeah. That all felt.
We're bending the rules.
Whatever the word is, it's not hand wavy. It's some other word, but that stuff. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure
we knew it was. We knew it was watching a movie, right? You were aware you were watching. A movie, that's true. Not a documentary.
It's like, but you know what it's like. Like I always think that my military
not based on a true story though. None of this.
I always think my military friends would hate stuff like this. Just like medical people can't watch ER or some other medical show, or you know, like. Right. Firefighters can't watch Chicago Fire without being annoyed by everything they see. Just like we don't like the net because we understand the internet and technology and we see that and go, what the
frick? Just like Randy being annoyed by the beaches of Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. He could have just told me it was anywhere. I was like, fine. Yeah, fine.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Or Vancouver, right? Every time Randy notices a Vancouver thing because of his time in Vancouver, it's like, oh yeah, well you would see that. I'm guessing Georgia people. How did they even go to like an MCU movie without going? Well, there's my neighbor's house. There's the damn.
That's where Peter Parker lives. He's my neighbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He always comes up. French fried taters.
A little bit of Sling Blade always.
Yeah. Well, when you go to Georgia, you're always talking to Sling Blade. Everybody knows that.
That's the truth. Sure. Well, how do you feel about clips at this stage of the game?
Sure. If you don't give me some clips,
very good.
You're gonna riot
my intruder up your butt.
Yeah, you'll put your flight. You'll fly that intruder right where the sun don't shine.
You'll say goodbye, assholes, and you'll eject.
Yep, there you go.
Eject.
Do you blow right through the roof of your glass thing? And like when they showed that, I thought, is that right? Wouldn't that pull back first and then you eject?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I would think the canopy would pop first. But
you got a helmet.
Did they?
That's true.
Well, I'm like, I don't know. Did they say the canopy? They was having a lot of technical problems. It could have been the canopy was stuck. I don't know.
Because that seemed like cheap glass. Like,
I mean, that is what happened, I guess, to Goose, right? Is that the canopy didn't break away, and he kind of broke his neck.
Right. Hit his head, concussion or something, whatever that was.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and in this case, they blew through it like it was that fake glass you use in bar fights.
So I just found a list of aircraft that pop the canopy off as a part of it and aircraft where you go through the canopy. There are many of them where the canopy is just easy to punch right through. So,
I would have thought it had to be a harder, thicker material, but I guess if you shoot a guy hard enough through it, it'll break.
I guess that's why the hesitation of pulling that damn thing. It's like, oh, I don't know. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm fisting to go through this thing. I don't care for it.
Sounds scary. Because earlier in the movie, they had a broken canopy. And he couldn't eject. Yeah. That was Murtaugh. He couldn't do it.
Right.
Right? Different kind of plane, though, I guess. So, anyway. Right. Well, let's get to these clips here. We got a few. And actually, we got a lot. So, I'm going to hurry through these. Because there's a lot of cheese in this thing. Anyway, not very nice thing to say is where we'll start.
You die, son, and I'll piss on your grave.
Jeez Louise. What are you, Shogun? Are you the Shogun samurai?
Insult to injury, I guess?
Yeah. Early career Sizemore.
So, Jake, how'd you guys do? I mean, you know, before it happened.
Yeah. Had hair. Like all this hair on him. It's crazy.
Yeah, and all the ladies, the ugly ones, but all the ladies.
Yeah. Ving Rhames when he had hair.
Nah, nobody gets used to it. You can put your job in front of it like the skipper, or you can even joke about it, but nobody gets used to it.
That's right.
We have the meats.
Talking about his hair? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he's talking about his hair. The Phantom Shitter.
The Phantom Shitter.
Yeah, yeah. More on that.
Say it like that. Now I want to be the Phantom Shitter.
We have more on that, though.
A turd was found in the Exo's ashtray.
Ash?
This is ashtray.
Ashtray.
Uh-huh. This is where
that's
I want to
call it now.
I always want to speak to the people who refuse to watch the movie and they listen to Film Sack. You may think there is a lot of talk about a guy shitting in the public spaces of this ship.
Yeah,
it is not as much as you think.
Yeah,
this is a
movie sure little, leads with it though.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying it's a subplot. It is not the movie is not about a guy shitting in public spaces.
No, but they would sure like you to think that for a very long time in the early part of the movie.
Yeah,
to Brian's point. All right, here's what I don't know what this is.
Probably first piece of ass he's ever had.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Careful. 3 years from now, you're going to have a ball in your mouth. So be careful there, buddy.
No.
What's this? I don't know. Here it is.
All right. That's all right, son. That's all right.
Oh, it was a lot of all rights.
All right. That's all right.
All right.
The way I wrote it was like, McConaughey's not in this. What's going on? Here's a gross one.
I want to smell it.
Yeah, you want to smell it.
Nah.
Oh, God. Oh,
thank you for not using that for my prom.
I want to smell it.
I want to smell it.
Somebody in our community wrote, this better not be the line that you put for him.
They did, yes.
Yeah, it was funny. I wasn't sure what they meant because I hadn't seen the movie yet, but then I saw it and I went, oh, that's what they meant. Anyway, the acting is not great. Here's an example.
You get that information, you keep it to yourself, all right? I don't want to know about it. Just keep it to yourself.
Come on now.
Yeah.
One more time. And of course, keep it to yourself, Mom.
And of course, they're in a tiny little library with another guy right behind him listening.
Yeah.
I think that was in the map room, wasn't it? When the Phantom Shitter was going down the map list.
Yeah. That was funny. And we've seen that guy in other stuff, right? The Shitter.
I don't know if we have his, he does not have a Wikipedia page. He's one of the few people like Razor who doesn't actually have a page to see what else he's been in.
But if they ever need somebody to play the documentary about Hugh Laurie, though, I think he might could pull it off at his age.
Oh, interesting. He does look like Hugh Laurie. Good call.
No, I hadn't even.
Hugh Laurie?
Now that you
Guffey,
say it.
Or Douglas played Guffey.
Roberts.
Douglas Roberts. Yeah.
He got out of movies and then hasn't done shit in decades. I think he finished in 2004 or something. Uh-huh. And now
he got through shitting and he was out. You know how I recognize him?
How do you
Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, Murder, She Wrote.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been watching. I've just about watched the whole thing now. I'm just about done.
Wow, you're doing a little side watch there?
Little Murder, She Wrote binge. Love it.
Yeah,
How is it? I mean, does it hold up?
Oh, absolutely not. It's a thing of its time and it's beautiful for what it is. I didn't really watch it back in the day. And it's exactly what if you remember Murder, She Wrote, it's exactly the same. Hasn't changed a bit. Right. It's exactly the same.
She's still writing murders.
A single episode of Murder, She Wrote ever.
I want you to give me an estimate, just a general estimate. Yes. How many murders happen in the town of Cabot Cove around this one person?
Dude, you would definitely think she is the murderer. She's a mass murderer because it is always happening around her. Even when Tom Selleck shows up as Magnum PI, still the murder.
Yeah.
Give me a number. How many murders?
Yeah, how many murders? Give us an average.
Let's see.
Average number of murders.
At least 240, and at least half of those were almost pinned on some type of relative or friend that she had to get out of the situation.
Wow.
Using nieces. She has a ass ton of nieces.
Really? But that's weird.
Isn't it? What makes it fun.
I guess, but like Matt, as far as I know, Matlock never focused on like a family thing or who was the what was the doctor one with Dick Van Dyke?
What was that?
Everybody had a series like this for a while.
Something. Oh God, it was
Diagnosis Murder.
You've been
Diagnosis.
That's
murder,
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's that, it. That, with that I thing, that I, my mom loved that show. Probably still does. All right. Here's another one. Let's get a little insensitive here.
Somewhere in my past, there was a wop in the wood pile.
Yeah, yeah. A little insensitive.
Okay. Sir, you called me in here to talk about the mission.
Yeah, and when he says, I assume that means somebody was. That means you're having sex in a wood pile. Is that the idea? Am I hearing that?
So your family tree in the past is the wood pile.
Okay.
Oh. You're dead. It's the wood.
I've never heard that phrase.
I haven't either. Yeah.
I've learned something.
But that makes sense. Is it being the family tree? Sure.
Here's a yes, sir, I do.
Yes, sir, I do, sir.
Yeah. Well done. Mm-hmm. Well done, Razor. I think it's funny that he says your name from now on is Straight Razor. I'm like, what were you calling him before? Gay Razor?
Yeah.
Right. Now it's called a razor. Now he's a real weapon, he says. Now I'm cutting. Right. You're a real weapon.
Polyamorous laser. Something about a sleep. I don't know what I wrote here.
I think Mad Jack's asleep.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that guy.
Awesome.
I like that guy. He's in other things I've seen.
Is it a TV? Of course you've seen him. He's on TV. He's in what's that long-running freaking murder show that Audra makes me watch all the freaking time, and for some reason I can't think of it right off the top of my head.
Long-running murder show. Is it still on the air now?
The SVU, the sexual victims.
Oh, SVU.
Whichever one it is.
Or special victims. Yeah, special victims unit.
Special. I know it's not that. That's why I said
it's Law and Order Special Victims Unit. No?
Ah.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it? That's
it. Special victims unit.
I thought maybe you went. I don't know what I thought you meant.
I drive an
especially SUV. Victims unit.
That show was great until they did the MMO episode, and I had to check the F out. It was so bad.
Oh, wow. There are so many of those, Scott. You just happen to have seen one of them.
It was so bad.
Ruined it. On the list for our next hour long watch along.
I will try my best. Yes. Yeah. There it's are so bad. Many.
It's so bad the way they handled it that I just went, well, I can't trust you now. Even if you've been getting all the sexual assault cases wrong this whole time, and I just didn't know because I'm not in that world.
Right.
Now I don't trust you because this is so bad. You didn't talk to anyone who knows anything.
Yeah, and it's not the MMO one. It's the Gamergate one that you're talking about.
Oh, well, the one I saw was a guy that ran an MMO and he had no other staff. It was just him and he was a billionaire. And there was a murder in the game that translated to a murder in real life. And it was just utter shit. I think I don't think it's the same as the Gamergate one. This is older.
So many of those.
This was back when Mulaney was still there. Kevin Maloney. What's
Maloney.
His name? Baloney. Before he came, before he did the mob
his
one.
His name is Baloney.
I can't think of his name. Christopher Maloney. That
Christopher Maloney?
Maloney?
Maloney.
Maloney.
Yeah, Maloney. You're talking about Elliot. Yeah. Elliot.
He was in an Italian woodpile. That's his name. All right. Moving on.
Oh, nice.
Every
he's coming to get you.
Every movie that has a plane in it to a certain age borrowed this stock sound for landing your plane. I hate that.
Funny, that was an everything. Thing.
You recognized immediately. That could be the A-Team. That could be a movie from 1973. That could be this other five things. Like, it's just, I hate that. Poor Sweet. Razor, I wrote.
That's not a joke.
Cole Virgil Cole.
Hell no, it doesn't matter, Cole Virgil Cole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cole Virgil Cole.
Oh, I did have an Ibit prom date. This is before your date. And I don't know what happened here.
You've been working out, I can tell.
Oh, that was you talking to your girl. Yeah, you were into it.
Nice. I smell it.
That bar scene, dance stuff, all that took way too long. Like, just get it over with, guys. We get it. You're rowdy. You're a bunch of testosterone monsters. I get it. I don't need to.
I like the hook. I like trying to ride down the beast.
I could not figure out how that thing worked, but it was fun.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead.
I liked it. Even if the closed caption person did think that it was saying they were the Vietnamese were saying peace, peace, peace. I was like, no, they're saying the beast. It's on that guy's jacket. You're not reading.
They were chanting beast, beast, beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you said Vietnamese. I like
Vietnamese.
That.
Yeah. I heard it too. Yeah. Yeah.
Vietnamese.
I used to do Viet, that all
get
the time.
On my knee. Oh, yes.
And no harm, no foul.
You're saying the subtitles, you're saying the captioning that you saw didn't say.
Yeah, the closed captioning. Yeah, the closed caption said peace, peace, peace. And I'm like, no, clearly the shirt says beast, beast, beast.
Yeah, why would I swear that stuff's crowdsourced or something. I don't know what's going on with that.
This was some of the worst closed caption I've seen. If you've only seen this through closed captioning, you might want to go back for a second look.
Yeah. Not? Yeah. Give it another try. Here's some bad laughter.
Ugh. That's the kid.
Yeah. They were investing. They were trying to invest us in a thing that would never come to fruition. It was never going to get solutions there. Here's, let's see. Oh, something about writing.
I'd like to write to you if that'd be all right.
Yeah, go ahead, dude. Go ahead and write to us.
Because that's really going to be the last we hear or see of you.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Can I stop you from writing me? I don't think I can, so I guess you have my permission.
she'd really like that. And
She
would really like it, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I want to know, so how many people are writing you?
the box man is definitely writing you. He's definitely writing everybody in the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, guaranteed. Right.
As long as you're ugly and trustworthy.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Dog. But what do you call her? She's a real dog, or she's a dog.
But ugly. No. No. But ugly.
But ugly. Yeah.
That's right.
So I know I can trust her. Right. You know.
Yeah. I haven't heard that since the 90s.
Yeah. I haven't either.
The last time I heard somebody called but ugly.
Hope I never hear it again. Here's always been this stupid.
Have you always been this stupid?
Yeah. Yes. How about this
that's
one?
That's a really good.
I like Can You Read?
Can you read?
I'm going to use that one for other stuff.
These clips are very useful, Scott.
I agree. These are great clips.
Yeah. Like when someone, you got to save that one for when you're reading a therapy Thursday.
Yeah, if I ever screw up in the middle again.
Can you read?
I'll just play it.
It's a good time to recenter. Like, okay.
Yep. great little reset. How about this is Ross in his first movie ever.
The only A6B qualified crew, Jackson and Greaves, were scrubbed because they didn't have a day trap. So your BN volunteered you for Sam suppression.
Sam suppression.
Yeah. It's another, poor like, Sam. Just like Bing Rames. You hear him before you see him. It's like, oh, I knew who that is.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So young.
Young and just around the corner for friends. A few years is all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's something I just wrote weird.
You see, Iron Hands, my thing.
Okay, that is weird.
I loved it, though. Every time he would get giddy, it was just the best.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest.
He did a lot. Here's him hating Sam's.
Look, man, I hate Sam's. I get all worked up just thinking about him.
I just love his...
Look, man.
Just has a weird way about him, that guy.
I really like Sam.
Yeah, no, you got a great Sam to like. You don't want to suppress Sams in your house, okay?
Yeah.
Try not to do that.
I did not like the miniature Sams in this movie, though. They were
pretty bad.
The miniature stuff, the miniature work was not great. Some of those outside green screens of ships in the background were...
Yeah, they were like made of cardboard and they're knocking them over.
Yeah. It did feel like we have gone further than that in 91. I was a little surprised how bad some of them looked.
That felt a little TV. That was the most TV part of it that I felt. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's TV.
I always think Jurassic Park is such a dominating point in time, and it didn't. That's a couple years away. I just feel like anything post 93, you can't get away with it the way that you could before.
We'd call it no.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable to me. All right, here's someone hating Sam's.
I hate Sam's.
All right, he hates Sam's.
Sam's.
I hate Sam's.
All right, he sounds so dumb in the plane. So this is where I don't like how he sounded. Here you go.
Not even fun until they send up three at once. Then we give the Gomers our first rocket while you dive under.
And then I'm going to tell the Gomers to suck my butt.
It's so weird.
It's not just his nose getting pressed down. There's just like a weird delivery that he gives inside that helmet, or at least gives in the ADR afterwards.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point.
I forgot to prep.
Also, it's not good dialogue if I can't understand it, and it doesn't matter that I can't understand
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you have the director, at this point John in the movie, Milius, to blame for that. Yeah.
Yeah. By this point in the movie, they were just dropping all the, they were just giving us all nothing but military terms and,
right.
and chatter and everything and talking about Gomers. And it was like, it was hard to follow and not that interesting.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That stuff was a little rough. Acting is very bad.
We got a shrike and that'll take care of the radar site that's guiding the sucker.
Come on, you crazy bastard. God damn it. I'm going to shoot before he gets
here. Not yet.
When you hear it out of context, it's just so funny.
It's really weird, man. I kind of love it though. All right, here's she's butt ugly. Yeah, there it is. It's some more very bad dialogue.
Last night I talked to my new bombardier about an idea I had, but he told me it was crazy.
Okay, now I have two problems with that. One,
bring
that's
out
just,
the strings.
That's like dead, mm-hmm. dead acting. But also, this is my biggest problem. He's writing, and he goes
right.
He hesitates twice. Listen.
Last night, I talked to my new.
Okay, last night I and then he goes on again. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, did he put ellipsis in the letter?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's so weird. And he does it again later. It's like that's not. Give me some proper narration. All right, here's some freak out acting.
Where I get Sam?
All right, that was
God. Wow.
What was that?
Hold on.
Where
I can't see it, and that was Sizemore doing his best.
Oh, where I can't see it.
Oh, okay.
Like where, comma, I can't see it.
I can't see it. Yeah.
Question.
If you were writing a letter,
like his letter.
To,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where Chris in the morning pops in.
There's no movie, sir. Just news.
Yeah, that's cool.
I feel news? Like
I
little,
listen, Maurice, I want to do the radio show. All right, here's you're shitting me.
You're shitting me.
Yeah, you're shitting me. Sam City, man. Oh, my gosh.
Sam City. I was shopped at Sam City one time.
Yeah, I go to Sam City. Sam's Club changed their name to Sam City.
It was when Sam's Club is across the street from Sam Goody. You have that.
Oh,
Sam's
City. Oh,
Sam City. Perfect.
I knew you'd know. Here's what does this mean?
We drop him, we'll drop him retarded.
Drop him retarded? What does that mean?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
I don't like it either. It makes me uncomfortable. Here's a Dunaway's favorite part.
I get good vibes.
Yeah.
I get good vibes.
All right. I got four left. Look at this one right here.
All that chicken around must have thrown off the ACU.
What was that nonsense?
All that dicking around must have messed up the ACU.
Okay.
Look, I could do a Howard Cosell.
Look at me.
I'm a really, only with a mask on can I do it. Ask your parents, everybody, who that was. Okay. Hey, we love him.
Anyone giving me less than 100% truth will find himself in a place like Adak, Alaska, or Diego Garcia.
Awesome. Bring him on.
Mm-hmm.
He's great in everything he's in. Here's the thing about Nixon.
Richard M. Nixon is quite irritated.
All right. That's cool.
Milhouse is angry.
Yeah, nobody likes an angry Milhouse. One final note. This is just some very bad acting that we'll finish on.
Get your young ass back and rearm.
No way, sir. We're staying.
That's an order. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
No way, sir. We're staying.
We're staying here. We're going to help you. F off. Sir. You suck. Time for the film sack checklist. Everybody in this movie talks like they are commanded to whisper or yell and nothing in the middle. Check. Mm-hmm. This is the Green Goblin origin story. Check. Can't take a dude named Virgil seriously in the end.
No,
check.
No.
No one gets named that anymore. Virgil.
No.
Do you guys know a Virgil in your life?
Like well,
because of this movie.
You know, the Abyss, Virgil, what's his face, back on the air, Oh, Ed Harris's character.
Ed Harris is Virgil. Right. But do you know any personally? Do you know any
real
named?
Life Virgils? No, not a single Virgil. At least no one who's copped to being a Virgil.
Right. Because you'd go, you'd change that if you were a Virgil.
For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, look who's coming. It's Virgil the Virgin.
Virgil.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah.
Virgil the Virgin. I didn't even think of that.
It's so close to that, right? It's exactly.
You wouldn't make it.
Virgil's
going to never survive.
Venereal disease, Virgil, you'd say.
Yeah, it would be bad. Sorry, any Virgils who are actually listening right now are going, my name's Virgil.
No, if it is, write in. I want to hear about it because I want to know what your life's like. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I want to know what your life is like. Tell us about your trauma.
Let's do some Star Trek connections. I really have no idea on this who might be Star Trekky. So what do we got?
We have a few, but they're all very minor.
Okay.
So let's start with J. Patrick McNamara. He played Admiral in this movie, and I swear to God, that's what it says. His cast list, it says Admiral is his Admiral. Character's name.
It's very admirable.
He was in season 2 episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation called Unnatural Selection.
Okay.
Justin Williams played Sammy again, one name character.
Yeah. I hate Sams.
Yeah.
Justin Williams was in the second episode of Star Trek Voyager, which is called Parallax. And then our big winner of the small timers is Richard Fancy. Richard Fancy's cast name in this movie was Intelligence Captain. He was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager called Tattoo, but most importantly, he was Captain Sadulk in the Next Generation episode The First Duty. That's the one where Picard yells at Wesley.
Yeah. Oh, Wesley. Yes.
Wesley.
And I,
we didn't always get along.
For some reason, I memorized. There was a time when this was like a meme on the internet, and it was Picard going, the first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I memorized the whole line for some reason.
Wow. Look at you, dude.
That was Richard Fancy.
Here's a throwback.
Shut up, Wesley.
That's the episode.
Shut up, Wesley. Yeah.
How about this one? Well, this is me, I think.
Wesley, get off the bridge, you little piece of shit.
Yeah, it wasn't quite. How about this one?
Thanks, Worf.
No, that's not it. All right. Oh, this one.
Wesley.
No, that's that one. All right. Hey, let's move on. Moving on from Star Trek to soundtrack grade, an F for fine. It's fine. It's not great. It's just fine. It's not anything to write home about, but it had crescendo moments that were okay. And then there were times it sounded like TV, so whatever.
It sounded like Conan to me, and that was off-putting.
Same guy, right?
Yeah
same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you got your Conan and your intruder.
Yep.
Let's move on to the social media post. This is where guys like you in 280 characters or less sum the damn thing up. And this week I've gotten a letter that says he demands that we change it up and that we do it different. And we start with Randy.
Flight of the Intruder. Why does it say intruder on this plane if they didn't want me to, intrusive?
Oh.
To call it intruder gives away the game. Don't try to tell me your butthole's elusive. I'll fly it right up your hole all the same.
Wow.
Because you killed my friend. Oh, what's his name?
That wasn't Dave. He's in the morgue. I can't remember his name. He's in the morgue.
I mean, you did warn us.
What's his name again? Yeah.
Very appropriate.
You did warn us. Let's now move over to Brian Dunaway.
A lot shorter. The Fly of the Intruder. Ooh, I've had my fun. Let's go home. Hashtag I hate Sam's. Hashtag eject, eject, eject. Hashtag say goodbye, asshole.
Eject, eject, eject. Finally, eject, rounding eject, us eject. Out, we have the one, the only, the Brian Ibbett.
Flight of the Intruder. I'll be your wingman anytime. Unless your name is Lieutenant Jake Coolhand Grafton.
Oh, my Lord.
Ah.
Not so good with the wingman.
No, he's a terrible wingman.
No.
He's running through.
He's got a bad record. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, look here. It's the alternate titles. This was almost called Bottom Gun. That didn't really stick. Or I'm too old for this ship.
You can. Yeah,
ship.
You go on and on with the those like Flop Gun.
Mm-hmm. Flop Gun's pretty good. Plop Gun. No, I don't know. I can't think of any more. But that was pretty good.
Shitter. Because the Phantom Shitter. Yeah,
that's not bad. Let's get to an email that we got from a listener. This came to us at filmsack@gmail.com. It's from Chris. And he says, pursuing Netflix. I saw Escape Plan Part 2 and 3 were streaming, which was very exciting because I didn't know they even existed. So tonight, I'm starting my Sylvester Stallone three-movie trilogy of the Escape Plan's epic saga. Then I realized, you haven't even sacked the first one. What? He says.
You haven't even sacked the first
one. I've never even heard of this.
He says, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Jesus Star, or I assume it's Jesus Star. Jesus Star. I don't know. In this prison escape movie, please sack it. You know you want to. He says, Escape Plan is 2013. That is on Peacock. Escape Plan 2, called Hades, is 2018, is on Netflix. And Escape Plan 3, The Extractors, 2019, also on Netflix. Says, P.S., according to my typing of Escape Plan in the IMDb search bar, I will then be watching 1971's Escape from the Planet of the Apes and 2012's Escape from Planet Earth. And concluding
we
with
noticed
the,
you like movies with escape in it.
He says, and concluding with the international blockbuster Escapin' Land, meaning Ibbit's Prom Night. Can't wait. You're nice. Chris French. Well, thank you, Chris. He's also a new Patreon, relatively new Patreon supporter. Thank you for that, dude.
I wonder what Journey album he's going to be listening to later.
But I think I'm going to scratch my head and I'll bet Escape. I bet that's probably. The one.
I just want to point out that Escape Plan 3, which came out in 2019, has Dave Bautista and 50 Cent and Jamie King, and I want to see it.
Why don't we?
Do we have to go through the first two before we get to that one?
I would like to know. That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, Sylvester Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Jim Caviezel, 50 Cent, Sam Neill, Vinnie Jones, Vincent D'Onofrio, Amy Ryan. I mean, this is the first one is a cavalcade of star.
Yeah.
Of star.
Of star. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus Star. Oh, I just realized it's not Jesus Star. He says Jesus is in it.
Jim Caviezel.
Oh, shit. Jesus,
right.
Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Christ. Mad at everybody, Jim Caviezel. Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like he doesn't make it past the first movie, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
He's kind of a weenie. I liked him in Count of Monte Cristo is pretty good in that.
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah. But any movie with both Vinnie Jones and Sam Neill, I need to see this.
Yeah, we should probably get it on the list. Do you want to start with an old one? Or sorry, a newer one and then go back like we do sometimes? Or
I want to start with the first one. Okay. But that's just me.
No, I agree.
I'll go with the majority.
Frustrating.
It's so frustrating when we want to watch movies like this in order. And for some reason, the first one isn't streaming, but the other ones are.
So in this case, the first one is not streaming.
No, it is. It's on Peacock.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. If you're counting Peacock, but like the other two
if you're
are
counting
Netflix.
Streaming services.
Whatever. Sorry, NBC Universal. Feel bad for you.
You're not a streaming service.
No.
Suck it.
I mean, Peacock got
you'll get your wings someday.
They got Oppenheimer. They're doing all right.
As a bonus episode, you should subscribe to Peacock and watch Oppenheimer.
Peacock. Well, anyway, that's cool. Thank you, Chris. We also got a call at 801-471-0462. This is a voicemail, and let's see what they have to say about our 666th episode.
Oh, this is the first time I'm calling to America, by the way. This is Mario from Belgium. I had a great recommendation for the 666 episode. I recently watched a film called Ready or Not with Samara Weaving. I think she's Hugo Weaving's niece or something. Film also stars Andy McDowell and Adam Brody. And it's kind of a dark comedy, and it features some satanic rituals. So it might be a great idea for the 666 episode. Yeah, that's it. Keep up the great work. Love the show. And hope this goes well. See you. Bye-bye.
I like he laughed at the end. He's like, I don't know what I'm saying at the end.
I don't know how to end this. So I saw this in the theaters. I saw Ready or Not in the theaters. It's it's very much more dark than comedy, but it's along the same lines as like Happy Death Day and the Blumhouse. Okay. I think it might be a Blumhouse thing, but
looking it up right now, it says, it doesn't say right away. I didn't know Samara Weaving was related to Hugo, but now that I look at her face, I can see it.
Yeah.
Totally see it now. That's crazy. So would you think this is sackable?
It's something to consider. It's, Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to give anything away about it.
Okay,
so... it's worth seeing for film sack. I'd say I don't know if it's do we rest it on the plinth, the pantheon that's going to be our 666th episode.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know either. This is hard because 666 is, we're never going to get that again.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And so we don't want to do sleepaway camp for that one. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, this would be good. I like the fact that Just Watch now has, or maybe it already had this, the streaming charts, and says Ready or Not is 415 on the Just Watch daily streaming charts today. Mm-hmm. The movie has moved up the charts by 14 places since yesterday in the United States. It's currently more popular than Cocaine Bear, but less popular than Dix the Musical.
Wow.
Dix the Musical.
Dix the Musical.
Wow.
I don't want to know.
Well, how about this? I'm not saying we have to do this because it's kind of overt, but there are a number of movies with 666 in the titles. One of them is Flight 666 in 2019, poorly reviewed, 4.4 on IMDb. It looks terrible. It's like an airplane that taken over by demons. Sure. Studio 666, there's that Dave Grohl thing.
That's right.
2022 thing where he, isn't he? Yeah. He's a demon or something. But it's the whole band, everybody. Right. Pat Smear, rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins. All these guys are in it. Whitney Cummings, Jeff Garland's in it. I mean, that may be too much comedy. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. If I can make a suggestion,
do it.
At some point in the last week, someone has mentioned this Lou Diamond Phillips movie called Route 666.
Okay,
and. It's got Lori Petty, and I am vaguely interested. I kind of doubt we'll find it streaming, and that's always going to be the factor, right?
All right. Yeah. 2001. I haven't even heard of this. Yeah. Diamond Phillips, Lori Petty, Stephen Williams. I like him. I haven't heard of this.
I mean, the Britney Spears Crossroads movie is now streaming on Netflix.
And that's not pure bad. Evil.
Exactly. If there's a more 666 movie, I...
I would not. You know what? That's not a bad idea because I know we do need to kind of get to it finally, and I've been kind of... I think I've been the one.
I don't think it's for a 666. I think that's still a great opportunity. And we've seen all the Omens, right?
Yeah. No, we've only seen one Omen.
All the Omens.
Haven't we?
I think we've only seen
Omen 1, didn't we?
I thought we saw Omen 2.
I think so.
Or no, did we see Omen 1?
Let's see. Maybe we saw.
There's one just called Damien, right?
Yeah. Did we do that?
I don't think we did that one.
Since I mean, 666 is about the rapture, we could try to watch Left Behind.
That sounds awful.
No.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Film Sack 46, we did The Omen, so the first one. Did we ever do the Damien one?
We didn't do Damien, which is Omen 2, which is streaming on Hulu.
We should do Omen 2.
I know, I agree.
Okay, I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of all on right. The Omen trail
let's
here.
We'll make it the official.
Let's just lock it in. Unless it's not. Well, it has to stream, I suppose, and it's on Hulu now. Yeah. But
it's on Hulu now. Yeah,
and we're
we got months. But,
yeah, we have true. Months. Well, let's see what happens.
Now it's on Hulu now, or it's on Hulu now.
It's on Hulu Plus now.
Okay. Yeah,
Max.
Hulu Now is their new streaming live service, and good luck with that. Anyway, well, thank you for the call, and also it's great to hear people from Belgium, of all places. Yeah. That's awesome. Your waffles are amazing, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's. You have good Van Damme's. Yeah, and Fritz and Van Damme, always the best. Mm-hmm. Let's move on now to a Patreon mention. We got some new people. We mentioned over here, his name was, what was it, Chris French. Big thanks to him for joining us, because without him, gosh, what do we have? But let me give you some other names. And they're not coming up. Why? What happened? Let's find out together as we see what happened, why their names aren't coming up. Last one was Taylor Fox last week. Here we go. Fenrock, Illusioned One, and Ryan, also somebody named Daryl Quinton. These are all brand new people. And it's really good to have them here. If you are a part of that group, well, then you heard Randy's special episode yesterday. We do a monthly host episode, each one of us. That was awesome, I hear. I got to go listen to it myself. And there's other reasons. You get art in the mail. You get pre-show content every week. No commercials or ads. All that kind of stuff. Just become a part of the broader FilmSack family today at patreon.com/FilmSack. Our next movie is going to be Tron!
Tron? You mean Tron?
The OG
on
Tron.
Disney Plus.
I'm so excited I can barely handle myself right now.
Yeah.
For real.
Like, I'm putting on my Tron suit now.
You don't even
my Tron onesie.
Tron of all my childhood influences, maybe, or nostalgic TV things, for whatever reason, Tron is really high on that list. Good or whether it deserves it or not, it's there. And
it does not deserve it, but I do enjoy it.
The concepts introduced there are still, to me, just amazing and such a fun thing. Mm-hmm. I wish Disney would do more with it. It sounds like we had a new movie coming, so that's cool. But hopefully it's a good movie. The last one was kind of rough. But hopefully the soundtrack's as good as the last movie. Who knows? And I noticed was it you, Ibbot, that was saying the other day that I was on Core. While we were on Core, there was a live concert thing happening or live music happening on the Twitter account of Daft Punk.
Daft Punk? Really?
Which got me to thinking, are they coming back? Are they going to
drop?
Do something?
I so highly doubt that.
They were doing old stuff, so you know, this could just be a social media thing and who knows, but wouldn't it be great if they came out of retirement and said, we're doing the new Tron soundtrack. Anyway, Tron from 1982, is it?
Yes, I believe that's right.
I think that's right.
You're going to watch Jeff Bridges get sucked into the cyberverse.
I'm play the video game and then I'm going to watch the movie.
That's right. So Box Lightner, you get your Box Lightner on, you get your David, he just passed away, David.
Warner,
yeah, recently-ish, not just passed away, but a girl I don't remember. Lots of people. It's coming up. So check it out. And Tron water. My favorite thing about Tron is that weird, glowy, freaking digital water they drink. Love it. It's real stupid, but I love it.
Not in the music, because I played the video game so much before, like the arcade game so much before I saw the movie. So every time a music cue would be do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yep. It's hard to avoid. Anyway, we'll talk all about it because we love that movie, and I'm guessing this is going to rope a bunch of people in who don't normally watch the film but still listen to us. So go watch it. That's on Disney Plus, right? Or is that somewhere else?
It's on Disney.
Okay, yeah. I figured since they own it, it would be there. Mm-hmm. Filmsack.com. In the meantime, you can go there and get all your stuff, links to everything we do. And if you don't mind, we'd love a review wherever you get your podcasts. All these sites, Spotify, iTunes, or what is now known as Apple Podcasts, whatever Google's doing now, they all have it. And, they're always changing their shit around. It drives me crazy. I never know what they're going to stick with. But anyway, whatever they have, you leaving a review there will help us get discovered. We appreciate that. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Good vibes.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
A turd was found.
Oops, that whole thing was supposed
to... turd found in the EXO's ashtray.
There it is. So the whole thing was supposed to play and didn't.
Ashtray.
Excellent. Ashtray.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.